Howdy, 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 everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Texas, the show about some things Texas.
And some things not.
We've got our 101st episode
101, baby,
for you today. Still wearing the Bucky's gear. Make sure you check out the summer line as we speak. We got a couple of things to cover before we get out of the studio today.
Tito's and Shiner, gonna be an all-nighter. Just might find her at the Whataburger line. Dance halls and women, but man, I'm wishing that I was fishing by the river tonight in Texas.
First, as always, your favorite segment.
And ours.
It's our not sponsor, still giving us no money.
Zero clout.
Providing nothing at all to help us keep this Texas machine going, but we love them anyway. It is our not sponsor, Seth, who is our first not sponsor for today's episode.
Our first not sponsor for today's episode is Bed Bath & Beyond.
Bed Bath & Beyond.
I've got so many 20% off discounts, I could basically buy the store for $10. It's Bed Bath & Beyond. Because who doesn't need a slap chop, bed sheets, and a stand mixer? It's Bed Bath & Beyond.
More like Bed Bath and Bankrupt, am I right?
Bed Bath and Beyond.
Really, what's the beyond part? Is there spirituality involved? Am I part of a cult?
Bed Bath and Beyond.
Sure, I'd love to take a swim in a sea of potpourri.
Bed Bath and Beyond.
Because really, I don't want to be judged for buying 20,000 thread count sheets for my tired ass. It's
Bed Bath and Beyond.
You know what? Throw in a ninja blender. I don't need it.
Bed Bath and Beyond.
They actually, if you're getting married,
yeah.
Registration tip, Bed Bath and Beyond is great because they give you mugs and plateware for registering.
Oh, wow.
Total hat.
So just register.
So you go register, you walk out of there with new coffee mugs. It's pretty great.
And all you really have to do is buy like $10 candles.
Exactly.
And you're good.
That's all you need.
That's all you need.
All you need. Also, only register for one set of plates and bowls.
Right. You don't need more.
You don't need more. Trust me.
You know, Texas podcast coming at you with comedy and life tips.
And life hacks.
Life hacks.
For as much as we make fun of it, here's a life hack for you. Find a spouse. Don't register for too many plates. Want to hear about our other not sponsor for today's episode of this podcast?
Who is our other not sponsor, Gunner?
Our other not sponsor is the carnivore diet. The carnivore diet. Would you suck Paul Saladino's dick if he said it was the source of ultimate protein?
The carnivore diet.
Black meat, red meat, white meat, yellow meat. We don't discriminate when we're on the
carnivore diet.
My burps smell like dog food. It's the
carnivore diet.
I haven't pooped in 10 years. It's the carnivore diet. Really, just be a bro. Just say you don't like vegetables. It's
the carnivore diet.
I got something in my teeth.
Is that steak? Is that,
I don't know.
Is that, are you on
the carnivore diet?
It's keto for losers.
The carnivore diet. It's, I've been on the carnivore diet since I've been eating kids meals, I guess, you know, like, so just say you don't eat veggies. It's fine. I am a little salty because I was a picky eater as a kid.
Are you a little salty because it's the carnivore diet?
Well, I'm salty because I was a meat and potatoes kid, right? I really just wanted to eat
meat and potatoes.
And I'm skewered as a kid all the time. Yeah. Eat your vegetables.
And now suddenly.
And now all of a sudden it's kitschy to just eat meat and potatoes. When did this happen? Why is this cool now? I'm so mad. I puked up carrots at the dinner table because I hated the way they tasted. You were there.
I was there, yeah.
And I had to finish them.
I am convinced that you did that psychologically on purpose.
I did. Dude, back to the stories we were telling earlier.
You were such a little shit about your food. You were such a little pussy about like not eating vegetables. You son of a bitch. Like, there is absolutely no reason a kid shouldn't be able to just digest a piece of broccoli. It was ridiculous. It was so bad, it was comedic.
You're being a bit cleft palate phobic right now.
You know what? It had nothing to do with your cleft
palate.
Your cleft
palate. You dick. No, you did not just go there. Come on.
I have a legitimate speech impediment, and meanwhile, you're like the one who gets sent to speech therapy.
What, you have a legit speech impediment?
No, not really.
Oh, okay. I was like, wait.
I just can't seem to shape my words correctly.
Well, that's anybody that's just talking for a living anyway.
Yeah.
But say whatever
my diction is terrible.
And by the way, Jenny was on your side. She was always about textured foods. There's foods that I don't like to eat.
That's everybody.
Because I gag and will throw up like carrots. And people would be like, that sounds like a lie. Finally, one of our friends who's an occupational therapist, which apparently food therapy is a part of that, was explaining that it's really common for people with cleft palates to have a hard time eating like certain foods. And I've been off the hook ever since.
There you go.
Because of my disability.
That's fine. And to be specific, it was like cooked carrots. Is that the thing?
Just raw carrots.
Raw carrots?
Yeah.
More than
cooked carrots. Cooked carrots are fine. I can even do cooked carrots mixed with something.
Sure.
Like rice or something. But yeah, raw carrots.
What are the foods that are off the table right now?
Bananas for sure.
Yeah, I've seen you with bananas. It's hilarious.
Even if there's a banana near me, I don't want to get
near. And it is funny because you can do a smoothie.
I love smoothies.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, and I know that I should get some.
And so that's why, like, I've always known you're a texture person.
Yeah.
So I'm going to give you a hard time.
As you should.
But like,
yeah, bananas.
But it was so inconsistent. Like, and that's the thing. Like,
yeah.
You have to admit, like,
it is a little inconsistent.
It's a little inconsistent.
Well, because it's sometimes it's the way it feels.
Right. It's, yeah.
So Jell-O, right?
Yeah.
The way that feels. Looks like it feels tactile.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-mm.
The way that your brain.
The way that my brain. Yeah. Don't.
So one of my favorite facts is your tongue knows how things feel.
Really?
If you look at something, your tongue can, like, just think about a thing or, like, look at that, and your tongue inherently knows how it feels. It's weird, right?
That's wild.
It's wild.
Yeah. So nanners.
Nanners.
And so like super, super soft, right?
Right.
And then really, really hard. So apples that crunch.
Yeah, the crunch. Yeah.
I'm actually kind of getting
There's
sick.
Actually nothing worse than like a bad Red Delicious apple because it crunches and then it's soft and mealy and it like.
Seriously, yeah, who's our. What happened? I was like actually like feeling kind of sick.
Once upon a time in Texas history.
Once upon a time.
Gunner threw up after he ate carrots.
It was horrible, dude. So gross.
Oh, man.
So what happened?
So.
Once upon a time, what happened?
In 1917, the Brenham Creamery was founded.
All right!
All right!
Gotta love a callback.
Gotta love a callback. So the Brenham Creamery was founded in 1917. And if you listen to last week's episode, you know what happened pretty soon after that.
Mm-hmm.
E.F. Crusey was brought on board to kind of
He's
turn the ship around.
He's had three different last names, by the way.
Right.
Crusey.
No, it's K-R-U-S-E. And it's, I think, the way you actually pronounce
Krause?
It. No, it's because they did they had a pronunciation guide in his son's obituary.
Oh.
So I'm pretty sure it's Cruzy.
Cruzy, okay.
I keep in my head when I see it, I say Cruz, but whatever.
Yeah.
So they bring on this guy to turn it around.
Mm-hmm.
They very quickly realize that ice cream is what's selling the best.
Okay.
So they start doubling down on that. And after the
founding,
they're
going to
milk it for what it's Dude.
Hell yeah.
I love it. You should go into comedy.
Comedy.
You should have like a podcast or something.
Yeah, I'll try it.
So they start focusing on the ice cream. In 1930, they've changed the name to Bluebell.
Yeah.
And they buy this machine that is a consistent, like, it keeps everything frozen while it's making the ice cream.
Gotcha.
And it shifts dramatically their production rate. They go from doing like 10 gallons an hour to 50. So they more than double their capacity, right?
Yeah. And fire all those
and
stupid
fire all
women
those stupid
that
women
are working
that are
at the
like,
factory.
Oh, what? We're
Whoa,
out of, what?
Are we outdated
are we out of
now?
Job? What are we going to do now? I have an idea.
Tune into YouTube.
So they explode. And rather than try and get distribution through a different company, they buy their own freezer trucks.
Really?
And so their expansion is completely based on their own ability to deliver their product.
Okay.
Kind of like In-N-Out, you know, they have kind of their own supply
They have that
lines.
Radius of it has to be this close to our suppliers.
And EF committed to keeping everything intentional, small, and slow.
Mm-hmm.
So as they grew, they were able to sustain everything.
Because no one ever gets lost.
No one ever gets lost.
On a straight path.
On a straight path. Straight road, straight. Doesn't matter.
Whatever.
Whatever. He brings in his family. Like, his two sons start working in Bluebell.
Yeah, nepotism.
They eventually take over, like, CEO and manager, right?
Yeah.
They keep growing.
Mm-hmm.
They eventually get Ed Jr.'s son, no, Howard's son, Paul, comes in after graduating A&M and being a lawyer for a while.
Gang him!
He resists going into the business for, like, 3 years.
Okay, because it's not ExxonMobil.
And all the while they're growing.
Yeah.
Well, there's this interesting thing where it's called the cousin generation effect, where you have a family operated and run business.
Mm-hmm.
And because of that, you have like more entrenchment.
Yeah,
CEOs cycle every like 6 years.
Yeah.
And so they're slower to adopt new technologies and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
So Paul gets brought on. If you remember in 2015, Bluebell was in trouble. There was a listeria outbreak.
Yeah, with all of their products.
All of their products. Yeah. So they quickly recalled everything.
Yeah, they had to grab the bull by the horns.
This was the other once upon a time.
Because customers were having a cow.
You done?
Yeah, I'm done.
Okay, cool. So,
sorry. They've been sitting for a while. Well, they had to steer.
I was about to do that. Okay.
That's for the Clint Fallon stuff.
Yeah, there you go. So they're riding, you know, they're, all these things are happening. Yeah. Paul goes, pull everything. So they pulled all their product. Yeah. And this is in 2015. Mm-hmm. He gets indicted because he knew about it beforehand.
Oh, shoot.
So Blue Bell, to their credit, shifts everything. They shut everything down. They have to fire half their employees. Mm-hmm. And they redo all their safety
because they tried to bury it.
They tried to bury it. So it comes out after the investigation that he was aware that there was a problem and waited
down the line, right?
Well, this got flagged.
Yeah.
So part of the reason I bring this up is this month he made a plea bargain. So he pled guilty to a couple of the charges.
Gotcha. Which means he said, yes,
which means he said, yes, I'm guilty.
Okay.
Initially, whenever they tried him, it was inconclusive. The jury couldn't come to a decision. So they tried him again.
Yeah.
And he was like, you know what? Plea bargain.
Yeah.
He's going to pay $100,000 based on the court's assessment of the damage he did. And then the company is on the hook for $19 million.
That is an interesting proportion,
but so, yeah, and I think he's going to do, like, I think it's, like, time, you know, under whatever.
Time and a half.
He's not going to do any jail time, but it's, like, through all the process, something like that.
Yeah, he'll have to pick up a bottle on the side of the road.
And he obviously had to step down. Yeah, so clearly. So, Bluebell is no longer a family run business.
Oh, like, the whole family got pushed out.
So, there's still some of the family members, like, the chairman is a family member. They have...
Of the board, not...
Right, of the board. Mm-hmm. Paul was the general counsel.
Yeah.
Part of why he got in so much trouble.
Because he did something illegal.
Yeah, exactly. And so the new CEO had to go on the stand and say Paul knew about it.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
That's what happens when you, get indicted.
When you get indicted. When you're being indicted!
Subpoena! weird word, subpoena.
Subpoena. You've been served.
Anyway, so Bluebell gets bailed out by a Dallas billionaire to the tune of $125 million.
Was it Jerry Jones?
No, it wasn't Jerry
Jones. Just somebody else in
Dallas. So the board and this billionaire bail out Bluebell because we all love it so much.
Because we still want
it. So this little creamery started in Brenham, Texas, gets so big and popular that when they're about to fail, they get bailed out
by the people
who love it.
That
Bluebell,
is pretty
cool. Bluebell was so popular, President Bush had a standing order for... what's the camp you went to?
Lady Lodge?
No.
Camp? What did we...
The camp the president's hideout at. I can't remember I can't remember the name of it.
I went to this camp?
No, that he went to.
Oh, that he went to.
Yeah, yeah.
Is it George Washington's estate thing?
Anyway, he had a standing order there every 2 weeks. They would replenish with Bluebell. Yeah.
That is wild.
Yeah, isn't that wild?
Yeah, I also love that if Ben and Jerry's not even had a Listeria outbreak, like...
Yeah.
Had something in their product that could kill you. If they just came out and said, like, being gay is a choice, they would shut down immediately.
Immediately.
It would revolt to the point that it gets brought down to the ground.
Mm-hmm.
Bluebell tries to kill you and knows about it, and Texans are still like, they're like,
eh. It only killed a few people.
It only happened once.
It's like, look, have you tried the new Dr. Pepper flavor? It's worth it. It's worth
it. Even the homemade vanilla. Man.
I just need it in my belly.
And you know
I need my tiny skillet.
Less weight on our shoulders. So.
Ooh. Yeah.
Yikes. Yeah. Gotta get rid of that heifer. Am I right?
So that is the founding of Bluebell. We know it today.
That is awesome. I mean, but it is awesome.
Well, and here's like just a fun fact. Part of the reason people like Bluebell so much is the actual fat content and weight. So per gallon, it's like 52 ounces, whereas like Dreyer's is like 40 something.
Really?
So there is actually, it's a denser ice cream
than
a lot of them. And
it shows. It's the thickiness. Yeah. I like the thickiness of it. So good.
So there you go.
Heck yeah. Well, I love that.
I love that
really
too.
Went Bluebell now.
Yeah.
Small town of the week.
Small town of the
Small town of the week.
Where is it? It's Brenham, Texas. Obviously, it's Brenham,
clearly,
Texas.
I'm just going down the You landed on Brenham's Wikipedia page or Bluebell's and just decided this.
Well,
is
I knew
my
I was going to do Bluebell's and our sponsor, and
it's great segment.
And I was like, you know what? Let's great just segments. Go all the way in.
Yeah, do
so,
it.
So Brenham, Texas, population 17,000.
Population the Bluebell factory.
It is the county seat of Washington County, very close to A&M, like 40 minutes away.
Yeah. Home of where the original Texas Republic capital would have been.
One of the coolest things about Brenham is it is part of what they call the Original 300, which is the first legal Anglo exploration and settlement into Texas. So it is one of the first legal 300 seats that was established by Stephen F. Austin.
Yep.
And that's Brenham, Texas.
That's dang. That's cool. And it's beautiful country.
It is beautiful country. Yeah, like whenever people talk about Texas being beautiful, that's what they're talking
about. That's where they're talking about. What? They're not talking
about. They're not talking about
the Permian Basin.
Oh, God.
They're not talking about Kermit, Texas. Come on.
I mean, we literally call Seminole. Seminole. Like that. It's not pretty country.
It's not very pretty.
You don't go to Big Spring and go, wow.
Whoa. You go there and you're like, Ryan Tannehill? Okay. Yeah. Oh, man. I love it. Yeah. Me and Jenny went to Washington on the Brazos.
Yeah.
And it's not as put together as you would think it is, but it is still cool to be there and think this log cabin is where.
It's where it
started. The first attempt at a capital started, yeah. And then they literally thought it's way too hot here and way too humid. We have to move this. Mm-hmm.
And then somebody tried to move it to Houston.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's move it to something hotter and wetter.
I did finally visit Houston a little bit more. Houston's pretty cool.
Houston's dope.
It is the only city in Texas and really the South where you can go to a Chinatown or a Little Italy or a Koreatown. That's pretty dope.
Houston was supposed to be the New York of Texas, and it didn't quite work out that way.
From a trade standpoint, it's the second biggest port city in the country,
US, yeah,
which also means it's where all the sex trafficking happens. True, but we're trying to put a stop to that. That was dark. Anyway, do you want to hear about our Texas badass of the week?
Who is it?
Wait, so, try it again.
Who is it?
Our badass of the week is Abraham Alexander.
If
you are not spinning Seasons by Abraham Alexander, his newest album, please stop the podcast.
Just go listen.
Go listen.
We'll wait.
Dude, this guy is so cool.
Where did he come from? This is amazing.
Origins, dude. On it, if I ever meet Abraham Alexander in person, I would maybe cry.
Yeah.
Not just because I'm in front of somebody who's so immensely talented and clearly just a beautiful person.
Yeah.
His story is insane. So he, a Nigerian family that I don't think he was, he might have been born in Greece, but he's raised in Greece as a child. And his family, his Nigerian family is in Greece, and they encounter severe racism in Greece. Mm-hmm. He told a story in an interview where his family's in this convenience store and he knocked a bag of chips off the rack. So we picked it up and put it back on the rack. And the store owner said, "Why are you doing that? We can't sell those chips anymore. Like, how dare you?
Mm-hmm.
We can't sell those now because he touched the bag of chips." So they moved to America to get out of that situation. But I mean, this young kid is growing up with the Parthenon as his playground and all the, but they're also encountering this insane racism. So they move to America and end up in Texas.
Yeah.
A few years later, he loses his mom in a drunk driving accident. And it's one of those classic atrocious stories where like the drunk driver kills someone else, loses his mom, loses one of his brothers along the way too, gets adopted by a family in Arlington, was probably never going to pick up a guitar because he had a pretty tumultuous relationship, complicated, a few of the interviews I listened to, with his dad, who was a jazz musician. So he considered never playing music.
Right.
By happenstance, from what I understand, one day he's walking by a studio where people are loading in amps, and they ask him, like, he's walking by and they just asked him, "Can you sing?" And he said no. And they asked, "Can you hum?" And he said yes. He ends up being the person that's humming on "Coming Home" by Leon Bridges.
Okay,
so like we first hear Abraham Alexander through a Leon Bridges song, and when you listen to his music, you can hear the Leon Bridges
influence
a little bit. And Leon told him, start going open mics.
Yeah.
Like, start playing guitar, start writing songs, get into this.
Yeah.
And fast forward to right now, he just in April dropped Seasons, his first studio album.
It's gorgeous.
So good.
I legitimately cried.
Yeah. Whoa. Dude.
Jake's having a seizure?
Jake,
what's going on, man?
Do you fall face first on the soundboard in there? But yeah, the Seasons is amazing. Yeah. He's touring throughout the U.S. this year, headlining his first shows in Europe this summer. So just, you know, from possibly not picking up a guitar to what I see is probably going to be one of our Grammy Award winning artists.
Give him a year.
Not from Texas, but coming out of the Dallas-Fort Worth area.
Yeah.
Just honorary Texan. This immaculately talented person. And then when you watch him interviewed, yeah. of course, just the kindest.
Graceful. Because I've gentle, seen a few interviews, yeah.
Just seems like one of the most gentle souls you could ever meet. This insane backstory.
It so perfectly highlights bringing art mm-hmm. into Texas yeah. and the way that we can nurture mm-hmm. that. And yeah. I love seeing it.
Love seeing it. Love listening
love
to
listening
it.
Love listening
to it. So Abraham Alexander, we're huge fans.
Massive fans.
Please, please, come to the show anytime you want. You are welcome anytime.
Standing
invitation. Go check out Abraham yeah. Alexander. Art into Texas. We got to get
yeah,
through
Yeah, we got to, yeah, really quickly. 5 minutes.
So Glenn Powell
yeah.
dropped basically a campaign
right.
with Matthew McConaughey, mm. Dennis Quaid.
Woody Harrelson.
Woody like, Harrelson and not Tommy Lee.
Billy Bob Thornton
is in it. Where they're basically talking about a bill that's yeah. in the House right now that is going to make or break funding mm-hmm. to bring more film into Texas.
Because a lot of that works by tax credits, essentially.
Yeah, exactly.
Different states get them at different points in time yeah. and they promote them or not.
Yeah.
And there's so much there's so many beautiful stories to tell
yeah.
that take place in Texas mm-hmm. or could
yeah.
be filmed.
And it's
here.
Such a diverse ecosystem.
Exactly.
You can get beach shots. Desert. You can get the yeah. desert. You can get the high plains. You can get the rugged hill yeah. country. It's,
you can even get swamps. Like,
you can even get mountains, technically.
Technically.
Yeah.
There are so many options. So we really want the tax credits. We really yeah. want that bill to pass. Mm-hmm. And I would love to see more film being made here, especially
yeah. uh-huh.
with the recent announcement of one of our good friends.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You go ahead.
No. So the podcast Boomtown, very, very yeah. popular. Mm-hmm. Our buddy Christian Wallace was at yeah. the helm of that.
Mm-hmm.
And they, you know, Taylor Sheridan picked it up and they turned it into plucked it out. And he's going to put it in the Taylor Sheridan shared universe
because Paramount has said we don't need money.
Paramount was just like Sheridan, Taylor, you can do whatever you want.
This is now the Taylor Sheridan Network. And yeah, so they finally
brought to you by Taylor Sheridan.
We've known this is in the works, yes. but they finally dropped the cast.
Yeah.
They're going to start filming Landman.
Yeah.
Again, big ups to Christian Wallace.
Huge ups.
You deserve it, man.
It's just so cool to be from a town with so much talent.
Well, I mean, it's so cool to, you know, we know him. I mean, we're not super close friends.
No, but like
means,
we know him.
But we know him. We're from the same town. Yeah. It's that thing where like, okay, well, if Christian Wallace yeah. can do that, we can do this. Like, this is possible because
it's
that's possible.
Yeah.
But it is, you know, Taylor Sheridan is
exactly.
doing a lot of work. To showcase Texas, yeah. to showcase Texas
Four
stories.
Texas is coming up.
Texas
there's
talent.
A lot of filming in Fort Worth.
A lot. Yeah. Fort Angeles.
And it just like, it makes me want to dive in again.
Yeah.
And it makes me really excited about the future mm-hmm. of Texas film.
Yeah, exactly. What? Well, really quick,
okay,
just get away.
Please.
The funniest part about the Landman press release, because
sure.
they do the press release,
did, yeah.
here's who's in it.
Yeah.
And I see the announcement come into my iPhone update, you know, announcing Landman, and I think, gee, which super hot blonde chick is playing the super hot blonde chick in this Taylor Sheridan film?
Right.
Pull it up, and it's the girl from 1883. Mm-hmm. Like, of course. God forbid there be
God
a hot
forbid.
Brunette in a Taylor Sheridan flick.
No, it's not allowed.
Yeah. Like,
no.
man, when he makes a film about Nazis, wow.
Wow. he's actually not allowed to touch it because it's just like,
it's just gonna
it's
be
too
like,
much.
Whoa.
Yeah.
This is too pretty.
This is too pretty. he can't touch it because he can't be objective.
True. Yeah, exactly.
Hey, Taylor, this is really sympathetic toward the wrong side.
What? Well, it'd be more like, Well, what would suck is like, damn it, it's still good though.
Still really good
still
writing.
Really good. So Landman
is
finally there announcing it. That's in production. If we get the tax credits, what is the one thing you want to see happen here in Texas with film?
I would really like to see Austin become a hub of talent and mm-hmm. actual cinema.
And you mean right actual now, talent,
I mean
right?
actual talent. I mean, yeah. like, I want this to be the new Atlanta.
Yeah.
Because there's not a centralized place in Texas mm-hmm. where a lot of stuff is filming. A lot of it's in Fort Worth.
Yeah.
And if it became Fort Worth, I'd be happy about that as well.
And honestly, a lot of Fort Worthians would be happy
about
it as well.
I want an industry to come here and make actual roots.
Yeah.
The way that like Marvel did in Atlanta, I want that to happen. Mm-hmm.
Like a franchise
right now,
to
Texas is just like, oh, we film here sometimes.
Yeah.
And I want it to be like, no, we're in the same conversation as Los Angeles and Atlanta.
Yeah.
Like we're right mm-hmm. here.
And not in the Austin's fun
right.
or Austin's cool way,
like,
but like,
no,
I live
cool
in Austin
yeah.
because I get work here.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's what
Heck
I want.
Yeah.
What about
I
you?
That. I just want, I keep thinking of, now I feel bad for getting the name. The documentary, the nature documentary we watched.
Mm-hmm.
Why can't I think of the name of it?
It's because you're on the spot.
Gosh, dang it. Whatever it was.
Texas planet.
It was basically planet Earth, but planet just Earth Texas. And it was showcasing from west all the way to east the completely diverse ecosystems and environments.
And it's amazing.
We have in Texas. So what I'm excited to see is the stories that come out of those places, but also the landscape itself being showcased.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, we lose business to New Mexico because right to work and because we don't have the tax credits. It would be awesome to see they're actually filming some of these these war stories in the Davis Mountains.
Yeah.
Because you'd rather be in Texas than in New Mexico. Mm-hmm. They're actually filming this at sea story in the Gulf of Mexico because you can actually get there and it's accessible. So I want to see that. And then what was your favorite part about the Glenn Powell ad that came out?
This is not important. I really enjoyed how crazy Billy Bob Thornton clearly is. He's such a loon, and I love it.
Yeah, I thought he was gonna be like, my name is Billy Bob Thornton, and I share scars with Johnny Depp. I thought that's
like,
what he was gonna
say. I didn't know what was gonna happen. Yeah. I'm just like, you look at the way he's dressed, and you're like, what are you doing?
What is going on here? Like, he literally looks like him and Caitlyn Jenner swap clothes.
A little bit.
Freaking wild. Yeah. But it works in a weird way.
Well, what about you? What was your
favorite? My favorite part was how there wasn't an Uber driver because you know they showed some of the gaffers and the DPs or the even I think they showed a catering person.
Yeah,
which was cool because I don't think I've now learned over the past few months when you're on a film set, it's not just actors and a camera.
No,
it's hundreds.
That's
of people.
The smallest part of the
That's
set.
The smallest part and maybe the least expensive. I mean, when you're feeding a crew of 300 people for 5 weeks, someone has to make the food.
Somebody's making the food.
And so it was cool that they showed the catering people, the gaffer, the lighting.
The film industry is responsible for a ton
but
of jobs.
But because they showed Woody Harrelson and Matthew McConaughey and even Glenn Powell, there was a part of that was like, why can't we also show the Uber driver that's like, hey, I'm Dave, and I've been selling weed to Matthew McConaughey for like 30 years. And
dude, Matthew McConaughey's weed dealer has a penthouse in the largest.
But you know, I wish they would have shown the guy, hey, I'm the pot dealer.
Hi, I'm Kyle.
Hey, I'm Kyle. And sorry we didn't break the record, but it would have been
really cool.
It'd be cool if there were more actors here because they buy the good stuff.
Yeah.
Because you know, there's so many drug dealers that are like, can we please get more film? Because they pay high dollar for some low quality shit.
Okay, one Texas story you hope gets told.
Oh, do you already have one of mine?
No, I don't.
Okay, because there's so many stories.
There's so
I
many
love.
Stories, yeah. I mean, I honestly, based on all the stuff I did looking into Brenham and Bluebell,
I want to see
a story that's the indictment of Paul.
That,
but
yes.
I want to see all three generations told concurrently. So you get the founding,
the origin,
the growth, and the fall.
And the corruption.
As the same... I want to see that
trademark,
happen.
Trademark.
Anyway, I think there's a really cool story to be
that,
told.
That is, and visually that'd be a really
visually
cool thing,
be really
especially if it was probably like great-grandson, grandson, or son, grandson, original, right? Yeah. Like that would be sort
that'd
of the
really
lineage.
Cool, yeah.
That'd be really freaking
it'd
cool.
It'd be fun.
I would go one of two directions.
Sure.
I would either want to do a like... I just love, you remember the movie Meet the Deedles?
Yes.
And one of my favorite Surf movies. Ninjas?
Yeah, yeah.
I would want to make a surf rat movie,
right.
a Linkletter surf rat movie about
Galveston. Cool.
Like the tanker surfers that fish for redfish all summer, don't have a job, and are so obsessed with the sick waves that they get twice a year that are hip high.
Yeah.
Either that movie, or I would want to make a really almost Disney-esque feel good sports movie about either six-man football team that either the coach is going through something and they've got to win the state championship or what. I mean, even the 1999 Andrews High School baseball
team.
Then there's the third one. It's Texas-esque based. There was a running back in Mississippi that was highly touted. They made an E60 documentary about him. It's called The Greatest That Never Was.
Yeah.
And he was out in Mississippi and being recruited by UT and OU. And there was this really interesting dynamic where it was Barry Switzer and it wasn't Mark Mac Brown, but it was two white coaches, and then the running back coaches were black running back.
Yeah.
So they send the running back. That was really good.
Thanks, man.
You're welcome. Good luck.
See, one of my favorite things is making you laugh.
That's really good, and I've never heard that before. But comedy. It's a Texas-ish story. Yeah. I want to tell the story of Earl Campbell going to recruit that guy and losing.
Yeah.
Because he ends up going to OU.
Yeah.
So, and it's just that interesting dynamic of white head coach.
We've talked about this before.
Yes. And there's something there. There's a story there of almost having to compromise your values to get a guy to come to your school.
Yeah.
Knowing that, like, you're going to make other people richer before you make money. And the race tension there's a story there that I want to tell.
All right. Maybe we'll tell these stories.
Maybe, because if we get the tax credits, so let's get those tax credits. Thank you for watching. There's more important outside.
I know. We got to wrap.
We got to get out of here. Like, share, subscribe, follow TexasPod.com. Buy merch, buy t-shirt. Check out Bucky's summer merch. We love you all.
Bye, y'all.